The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek, everybody, the voice of UNLV women's basketball. In for Kelly Bidlin. Where's Kelly? Where'd he go?
I believe Florida.
Oh, he is in Florida.
Because that's what when he showed me the map of the hurricane that was going to hit. I believe it was a tropical storm. He was kind of.
But is he Gulf Coast? Or is he on the.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think he's on the Atlantic side.
I don't know. That is a good question.
Well, our thoughts to everybody who may be in the way of that weather in Florida, and hope everybody's safe. We're efforting Warren Sharp. We've got Spanky coming up as well. Mike Somich will join us on the show. Couple things. First of all, I want to conclude with the Jets. Gives a chance. Jets, who FTN has, by the way, just continuing with the AFC East. And I have this interesting note about the White Sox from Borchardt as well. But just continuing with the AFC East, or wrapping up the AFC East. They have the Jets, FTN does, as the most talented team. So it's, again, the pecking order. Jets 1, Dolphins 2, Bills 3, Patriots a much closer 4 than you might expect. And it always makes me chuckle because that is not the conventional wisdom about the New England Patriots. But again, the biggest point about this division that they make, when you're making bets, wild cards, it may seem like you'll get your share of at least one wild card out of this division. Don't be too sure, they're saying, because of the collective strength of schedule being so difficult, and that the division win might be the only path out of here. But their point about the Jets is very clear. They were a playoff team if they had above average quarterback play, even above average quarterback play the last couple years. Obviously, they had putrid quarterback play at times. Their defense, though, I mean, good God, 7th team in DVOA history to combine a top 5 defense with a great pass offense. Oh, with a horrible pass offense. So the great defensive performances have gone by the wayside. Here's their thing about having a great defense, though. 3 primary reasons why a defense declines from 1 year to the next. The first is health. The second is personnel turnover. The third is because, well, defenses are just defenses. They happen to decline from year to year or just change dramatically one way to the other. Nothing is static. But they expect the Jets to be one of the few great defenses to remain dominant. They say they will overcome all of that. For one thing, they've already done it. They were 6th in defensive DVOA back-to-back seasons, 2022, 3rd in 2023. They have a defensive unit with a star at every level of the defense. Quinnen Williams, all-pro lineman. His brother Quincy Williams as a linebacker. Sauce, of course, in the secondary. So they are just stacked up the middle on every level. And they feel like the Jets have addressed perhaps a little bit of their offensive line problem. The offensive line was even atrocious last year in terms of run block win rate, 29th and then 30th in back-to-back seasons, but they addressed that with Tyron Smith. They've also got Morgan Moses, John Simpson there as well. So it is the 7th toughest schedule. Buffalo and Miami twice each, obviously difficult run through the NFC West like everybody else in the division. Chasing a wild card spot may prove even tougher than winning the division, and they think that this may come down to, again, it's all going to come down to Aaron Rodgers. It was very simplistic when they talked about the Colts, where it's like, okay, the Colts are just going to run it back, and they're just hoping Anthony Richardson is everything they expect him to be. With the Jets, it's, well, we're going to get more than 4 plays, hopefully, here from Aaron Rodgers. And what can a guy at 40 years old do off an Achilles injury? As someone, me, who has had not one but 2 ruptured Achilles, and who just absolutely slammed some of these internet doctors who thought that, or who led you to believe that Aaron Rodgers could have played, could have come back last year, which was complete nonsense. I will tell you, he will be fine starting this year. And as a quarterback, it doesn't matter that he's a 40-year-old coming off an Achilles injury. As a quarterback, and one that is not known primarily for his mobility, even though he's able to shift around in the pocket well, I think he'll be fine. And I think at least for one season, I think the Jets will have themselves whatever Aaron Rodgers has left, regardless, certainly not his success. Let's put it this way. His success or failure will not come down to the injury. Let's put it that way. Now, Aaron Rodgers in his last year with the Packers, maybe even his last 2 years, was a diminished Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't quite the great Aaron Rodgers, but he certainly is everything the Jets would need. Even if you get that Aaron Rodgers and you add that guy to this Jets team, which is already stacked, we didn't even mention the skill players on offense. I get it. They are probably the best team in this division. With apologies to the Dolphins and the Bills. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we go to Warren Sharp, who has himself a Pro Football Preview guide. And we are thrilled to have him because we haven't had him on for several years. But Warren's preview guide is called Sharp Football Analysis 2024 Football Preview. You can follow him on Twitter at Sharp Football. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Warren, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, good talk to you as well, Gil. Talking to you means we're ready for football season. So
that's right.
It's the best time of the year on my calendar.
I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. How long does it take for you and your guys to put together this guide?
No less than 4 months. It is painstaking. It's 559 pages. It is a labor of love, especially the last 2 months, getting it all buttoned up and ready to roll. And I still play a very extensive role in I write about every single team for the chapters. That's me. My guys, I've got a fantasy guy who writes. I've got a draft guru who writes about the incoming draft classes. But a lot, I've got a defensive specialist who writes about the defense. But in terms of the overall chapters, I am still writing 100% of those. And I feel like it's vital for me to do that because that allows me to get a better perspective of all the teams, right? If I just focused on one or two teams and that's all I was writing about, then I'm writing about a team in a vacuum, not understanding who they're playing on their schedule and how it relates to other teams. So I write everything about all 32 teams and I love doing it. It's a lot of work, but it really gets me ready for the start of the season.
Well, I wonder if you agree or disagree with this. So when this first came out, I talked about it because one of the things I think that you do so well now that it almost gets the headline over everything else is schedule analysis. Are you comfortable with that? That like this is kind of your thing now above all?
I am because nobody else is doing it to this degree, to the point that, you know, the NFL is locked in on what I am saying about the schedule and their schedule guys are paying attention to what I'm saying and whether they agree or disagree, they're seeing what I'm saying and they're responding to what I'm saying and they're anticipating what my reactions are going to be when they release the schedule and I do my rest calculations and uncover who's been advantaged or disadvantaged by the schedule. So I'm comfortable with that. Certainly do a lot more beyond that, but absolutely that becomes my main focus for several days is uncovering what's happening with the schedule. And, you know, to an extent, it saddens me to see the direction that it's headed and that it's been heading in that there's less care placed upon making an equitable schedule and there's more care being there's more attention being focused on just making big games and storylines throughout the season as it relates to the schedule so that we can sell more games on TV. And whether it hurts teams or helps teams, that's kind of takes a backseat to everything else. And I understand the balance of it all. And I understand that you want to get good games and league wants to make money. But absolutely, with such a short schedule compared to other pro sports, you know, so many fewer games in the NFL than all the other professional leagues, there's got to be a higher emphasis placed upon making things a little bit more equitable. But I do want to slip in, Gil, real quick,
please,
that if anybody is interested in getting the preview, if you enter VSIN over at sharp.football, 50% off for your listeners. Haven't been on for a while. I know we still got over a month until the season starts, but wanted to just roll that out there right now. 50%
wow.
off using the code VSIN.
50% off if you use the code VSIN. Where do they go?
They go to sharp.football. And basically, it brings it to just over $15. And I'll also tell all of them, if you feel like what you download there, and I sent it to you, Gil, you've had a chance to look it over, hopefully. If you don't think that's worth just around $15, I will happily give you your money back. Just come find me on social media. I'm easy to find. I will gladly give you a full 100% refund. I just think it's such a good reference tool throughout the season, getting ready for the season, but also during the season as we talk about these rest edges, and I'm sure we're going to go into more detail potentially, Gil.
Yeah.
I list out for every single game that's played what the rest advantage is for each team throughout the course of the season. And so, as well as what the lines are right now, so you're going to be able to look at this and say, well, back in the summer, the line was 7, and now it's up to 10. Is this 3-point change justified? And what's the rest edge here in week 16 versus their opponent? All of these things, it's useful during the season, not just in the months leading up to the season.
I completely agree. I would even say this, and I'm being completely sincere when I say this. For the schedule, if there was nothing else, and it was just about schedule analysis, this is already worth 10 times what you're charging. Like, seriously, if you're handicapping football throughout the year, this ought to be, if you don't have this as a tool to always reference, you're probably not doing this right. We only have 60 seconds before the first break, and we will get into some of the specifics afterwards. But can you just really briefly tell me, of all the scheduling quirks, which is the one that angered you the most, Warren?
It's probably the San Francisco 49ers getting screwed yet again. They had the short end of the stick last year. I know the NFL says, well, it doesn't matter. They still made it to the postseason and they made it to the Super Bowl. But it's not fair to make a team have to overcome that. And they play three games where they're playing teams coming off of a bye. They have the worst net rest edge that I have seen in history. There's teams like the Baltimore Ravens that play with such a rest advantage, and the 49ers for two straight years now have been dealt the worst rest edge of any team in the NFL. Rest is always compounded late in the season, and they play three teams late in the season where they're off of a bye week from week 8 through week 13. They're going to play three opponents like that.
And by the way, for those who listen, because I've heard this from people who are like, oh, schedule analysis is so overrated. No, it matters. Like, if you go to the ATS records of these situations, it completely matters. Warren Sharp on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Musburger Media. To celebrate, VSiN is offering its lowest price ever, special 3-year offer. This week, only get 3 years of VSiN Pro Access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems and analysis from professional handicappers. 24/7 video access, plus access to all of our betting guides. This limited time offer is available to both current and new subscribers. If you're an existing subscriber that'd like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@vsin.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit vsin.com/special to sign up today. That's VSIN/special. Gil Alexander back in the fold here on a numbers game. Wyatt Tomczyk alongside, and Warren Sharp kind enough to join us this morning, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Warren, the author of his Sharp Football Analysis 2024 Football Preview Guide, which Warren, once again, for VSiN subscribers, what's the deal?
The deal is if you go to sharp.football, you can get this guide for 50% off, which takes the price down to just over $15.
Beautiful. Just put in the, by the way, you don't have to be a VSiN subscriber. Just anybody listening to this right now puts in VSiN as the promo code. All right, let me just talk about some of that. Let's start where we left off. And you were talking about how the Niners have, for the second year in a row, the worst rest disadvantage. And again, what Warren's talking about is heading into a game, if the Niners are coming off, let's say, a Monday night game, and their opponent is coming off the previous Thursday night game, just to give an example, right? That's a -4, would that be? Friday, Saturday? Yes, that would be a -4 rest disadvantage. And if you aggregate that over the full year, the Niners just get the worst of it again. You brought up something off air, too. Is Kyle Shanahan and are the Niners aware of this? And if they are, Warren, do they complain about this? I'm always curious.
I don't know if I've heard any coach complain about rest per se. I have heard back, like I want to say in 2016, 17, when I first started looking into it, it was because I did hear something from the Buffalo Bills camp. I don't know if it was their head coach at the time or something, but they had been getting screwed by the schedule for like 2 years in a row. And so I did some analysis. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then I started going in a little bit more detail every single year. Eventually, Peter King picked up on it some and wrote about it in his, no longer is being published, but his famous article. But Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily even aware this is as big of a deal as it is. I mean, I thought I heard Kyle Shanahan mention it, but didn't necessarily complain about it per se. Like, if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs last year, this is like a betting-focused show, so let's talk ATS, let's talk betting a little bit. The Kansas City Chiefs last year, they had that stretch from weeks like 12 to 16 where they were at a rest disadvantage every single week. And when they had a rest deficit last season of two or more days, they had that in five games. They covered the spread in just one of those five games. They won only two of those five outright. When they played any other game where they weren't having a rest deficit of two or more days, they went 12-3 ATS and 13-2 straight up. We're talking about 80% cover rate, and that's the best team in the NFL, the team that went on to win the Super Bowl. They were great when their rest was not an issue. But as soon as rest became a little bit of an issue, 1-4 ATS covering only 20% of those games, switching back from 80% cover rate in their other games. I mean, if you want to say rest doesn't factor into games, that's fine. Go ahead and think what you want to think. Let there continue to be record number of games that this year there's 101 games that are being played. That's 37% of the entire schedule out of the 272, where one team has a rest advantage over their opponent. That is the most in NFL history. Keep throwing all those rest disadvantage situations onto the schedule. If you don't want to bet them, fine. Leave them to me. We'll bet those games. And, you know, these games do end up covering at a rate that is profitable if you're just betting on rest situations.
Yeah, and the Niners, by the way, because it does occur to us that, you know, people listening, well, yeah, but the Niners got to the Super Bowl. Niners were 0-3 ATS, lost by against the spread by a whopping 32.5 points combined in their three worst rest deficit games, despite being favored by 14.5, 9.5, and 4.5 points in those three games. They won just one of the three, and all told, they were 2-2 outright, 1-3 against the spread when playing with a rest deficit of 2+ days. But then the other games, they went 9-3, covering the spread in 58% of those. So again, this stuff does matter. Give us, when you look at the full season then in total, give us like a season win total that you look at, Warren, and you're like, well, based on my analysis, this looks way off to me.
Way off? You're talking about just based upon rest?
Well, rest or rest and beyond, either way.
Well, if you're looking purely at rest, like one of the teams that I sort of had some intrigue with but couldn't get all the way there was the Indianapolis Colts, and I did not like their schedule of rest this year. Their rest schedule is really problematic this season, so that kind of took me off of that one. You know, I think the Ravens lost some things this year from a personnel perspective along the offensive line. And so I have some questions about the Baltimore Ravens this year, but they're in such a good rest situation that I couldn't, you know, back their unders because of their great rest situation this upcoming season. It's the best in the NFL, number one largest. And it's the largest rest since at least 1990 and likely in NFL history. I didn't have the data I track all this stuff back to 1990. In some cases, I can go all the way through NFL history, but in their particular case, I did not. But I suspect that it's the best in NFL history. One team that I am encouraged by, Gil, this upcoming season doesn't necessarily relate to rest because they're basically a net neutral. They're only minus one day net rest. Is the Detroit Lions. And there's a couple of factors for that, but one of which is, this is all like X's and O's, the stuff that you and I originally started talking about years ago that I would come on and we'd break down like some of the X's and O's of the game. But with the Detroit Lions, they blitzed at one of the higher rates of any team in the NFL last year, and they got really good pressure, but they were not getting sacks. And I did the calculations. This team's pass defense, it's in the Detroit Lions chapter of my book, they ranked number 31 against the pass last season. However, and everybody knows that, like they were a terrible pass defense, and that's why the Niners were able to come back in that NFC Championship game and win, was because they were able to pass the ball on this bad pass defense of the Detroit Lions. However, if the Lions simply did not blitz at all last year, no blitzes, they would have been a top 10 pass defense. They were excellent at still getting pressure when not blitzing, just natural pressure, and they were really good defending the pass. But when they blitzed, they ranked dead last in the NFL in basically every single metric, EPA, yards per attempt, et cetera. So I think that if they reduce the number of blitzes, and I've brought this information up. I'm talking about it publicly a lot. Hopefully they're looking at it as well. And in addition, they went out. The first two draft picks were both in the secondary. They also added Carlton Davis via free agency in the secondary. They brought in a lot of new corners. They're overhauling that secondary. If they can get similar pressure, I like the additions that they made upon the defensive line. I think this team is going to be, like, it's not really a shock to say I think the Lions are going to be good this year. I think the Lions are, like, right there to get back to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, this year. And the other thing that's a factor, although he hasn't been having a good camp, is Jake Bates. Jake Bates, and if he's there and is able to kick some of these deeper field goals, the Detroit Lions ranked number 25 in field goal make rate over the last 4 years. That's why Dan Campbell doesn't attempt them very much, is because he has more confidence in his offense than he does in his field goal kicking unit. But Jake Bates could be that secret weapon, although I do hear he's struggling in camp, which is something that's a little bit unfortunate for me because I'm definitely invested in a lot of Detroit Lions' futures for the season.
And your bets are mainly on totals during the year, Warren?
I'm on, like, they're over 10.5. I also took an alt-win total. I also took them to win the most games in the NFL. They were, like, I don't know, like 11-1 or something like that, so they weren't the favorite in that category. I want to say I took them to score the most points in the NFL. This is now a well-known statistic as well, but they play 14 of their 17 games in domes, and we know Jared Goff splits, like, betting against him when he plays outdoors in the rain. That's definitely a thing. He plays a lot worse when he's outdoors, especially when he's in the elements, and to play 14 of your 17 games in domes that are a lot more comfortable for him. And I just love, you know me, I'm very much so into play calling and offense coordinators, and I love the fact that it's a coup that they got their offense coordinator back this season. Same similar situation to, like, the Chiefs somehow being able to retain Steve Spagnuolo year after year, even though he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. I think the Lions able to retain their offense coordinator is really going to continue the upward trajectory of this offense.
Warren, I can't say enough about the guide. Again, it's the 2024 football preview from Sharp Football Analysis. VSIN, if you put in that, 50% off. But just for the scheduling alone, again, 3 games in 10 days, 4 games in 17 days, where the NFL has just gone crazy on both of those. Warren has all of those instances where it happens, which teams and when bye weeks are negated, all of that in the guide. I can't thank you enough, Warren, and appreciate and continued success, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gil. Let's try to do it again sometime this season.
Where do they go again?
Enjoy these convos.
Where do they go again?
Let's just go to sharp.football.
Sharp.football. Let's absolutely do it during the season. Warren Sharp, everybody. Thank you, Warren. Right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Spanky on the other side at the desk talking Bet Bash 3. It's A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hey, football fans, do you live outside of Las Vegas but still want to compete in the NFL contests around town? Let the Winner's Circle Proxy Service be your ultimate partner for this football season. With Winner's Circle Proxy Service, you get expert attention to detail for your entry management. No matter how many entries you have or which contest you're in, they're the only proxy service that runs a program through every entry to ensure picks have been submitted. And we'll even text you if you forgot to submit picks. That's huge. Join the Winner's Circle Proxy Service today and turn your football season into a winning season. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com to learn more. Winner's Circle Proxy Service, your key to the winner's circle. It's Gil Alexander. We get texts. We get tweets. Lou Finicaro, Gambaloo, has texted in about the Warren Sharp segment. He said, it pays to wade through 550 pages of Warren. Great segment. I scour through that like a gold miner. It's very true, man. The scheduling alone, just to have that by your side as you handicap games from week to week, like, oh, I'm on this team. Oh, wait a minute. They have a rest disadvantage here. I should lock into that. And you think you can pick up on that week to week, but having that as a guide, as a guardrail, I should say, is a good thing. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. I haven't read tweets this morning yet. This is from Jason H11. How many days does Wyatt have to be in the producer chair to be considered producer number 9.5? We don't do halves. It's got to be 3 months in a row.
3 months consecutively, yeah.
Yeah, that's the rules. This is from Mr. Bomb Apple. Mr. Bomb Apple, welcome back. I feel whole again. Thoughts on my Padres as a long shot for the ring. Like I was saying in the first couple segments, you got to take a shot on a team that most folks aren't really considering. The Padres are always a kind of, like, you know, cool person's pick. anyway, and they're playing good baseball right now. So, again, based on the number that you can find, they are set up pretty nicely. It's just, can you get to the point where you can see them winning it? They have as good a chance as anyone, in my humble opinion. They really do, in a wide-open Major League Baseball season. And this one is from Joby. Welcome back. Hope you could take some time today, use your platform to talk about the big news in the industry that dropped last week, namely DraftKings planning on surcharging players' net winnings at a rate of 3-5% in some states starting January 1st, 2025. Don't get me started. I was going to wait for a crack on Thursday to talk about this. That's when we'll do it. I promise you we will talk about it then. And of course, I think it will probably come up on the panel that I am honored to moderate on Friday at Bet Bash 3, which includes Billy Walters, where we talk about legislative stuff in gambling and just is there a voice for the better kind of thing? Better being OR. Spanky, the organizer of Bet Bash 3, joins us right now at the desk at the Shield here at the D. What's happening, man?
Not that much, man. Thanks so much for having me. We're getting really excited about Bet Bash, and you know, I make this pilgrimage on your show every year, Gil, to talk Bet Bash, so thank you so much for continuing the tradition.
Bro, I appreciate it. I'm honored to be a moderator once again. Other VSiN hosts as well, right, are doing stuff at Bet Bash.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to get as many people involved as possible, and it's such an exciting time. You know, this is we really ramped it up this year with 24 seminars and 6 live podcasts, so that's the big new addition this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're really bumping up the educational content and whatnot.
6 live pods. So this is Bet Bash 3. This is
Bet Bash 4, actually. 4? The first one was in Jersey City. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Bet Bash was the first one was in New Jersey. You're absolutely right. So this is the third one in Vegas, but Bet Bash 4. So this is old hat for you now. This doesn't make you nervous anymore.
No, you get a little butterflies. Nervous, I wouldn't say. You know, I'm excited. You know, just there's always a level of excitement. It doesn't get old. You know, the Hall of Fame is, this is our second year doing a Hall of Fame, and this is, you know, the list of luminaries that will be present is just unbelievable. So it's incredible.
To the person hearing about Bet Bash for the first time, what's your elevator pitch? The greatest collection of gamblers in one spot? What is it?
Yeah, you know, Bet Bash, there's a 4-prong process: networking, education, legends, and fun. That's kind of what we're looking at. And if you like any one of those things, you should come on down. You know, networking is the biggest thing, where you get to meet other sports bettors, you know, guys that love to do this either for a living or recreationally or a little bit in between. And if you want to learn about sports betting, it's not just for experts, it's for amateurs. We have a sports betting 101 panel seminar that we're doing at Bet Bash, and I was surprised. There's, I think, 90 people signed up for sports betting 101, and I would think there wouldn't be that many, but we get a lot of intro guys that are just want to learn about sports betting, dive deeper and say this is the time to do it, because you'll be rubbing elbows with some of the world's greatest, and a lot of the world's greatest come here, and not that nobody knows who they are. I don't even know some of them how good they are, but there are some I know, but not every people like to keep it quiet. So
Bet Bash is August 6th through the 9th. So
yes.
So starts officially tomorrow.
Yes.
But really gets really full steam right after that, I would say.
Yeah, tomorrow we have, we have a couple of VIP events for early, for guys that wanted to jump in. We have a golf tournament, a poker tournament. And then tomorrow night is we have the opening night registration cocktail party. And, everything's open bars. We have 4 open bars during Bet Bash. If you go to the Hall of Fame, it's 5. And then Wednesday, like you said, Gil, that's when it really gets vamped up with the speed networking event that we have, which is kind of...
So explain that to people.
Yeah. So speed networking essentially is like you fill out a form, it takes 2 minutes to fill out, and then an algorithm runs and a computer kind of matches you up with the 15 best matches. So it's kind of like speed dating, but you're not dating anybody. You're just networking, try to create synergies with other fellow sports bettors or other things. Could be handicappers, could be guys that might have a bankroll ideas, you could be mentors. There's so many different classifications that you could mark yourself, and then it will match you accordingly. And it's there's people I know that come to Bet Bash just for the speed networking. They'll fly in late Tuesday night, do the speed networking Wednesday, they're out Wednesday afternoon.
Now, are those people? Those people are looking for what, outs?
Most of them, the ones I know, are looking for outs, but just looking to connect, and it's the easiest, most structured way. In 2 hours, yeah. You can make 15 connections, and all you need, a lot of them are going to be duds. Obviously, you can't make 15 great connections, but I always say all you need is that one connection, and then that could just skyrocket. People have made huge, huge connections. Lives have changed, and I say that not being facetious. Lives have changed at Bet Bash because of the Speed Networking event, and because in general, just, a lot of people like to network at the bar, but Speed Networking is kind of structured for those guys that are a little bit in their shell. We make them get out a little bit more, and it's kind of structured, so they have to talk to each other.
I've met a couple gamblers in my life that have been in a shell.
Yeah.
That's quite a personality trait. By the way, Jason Weingarten, to your point, Jason Weingarten got a gig at Pinnacle through the speed dating.
Yes, one of many huge connections.
By the way, this year is closed. This year is full already.
Well, we have a few general admission tickets that we're selling. The VIP tickets are all gone. So if you want, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony is all sold out. Legacy Club after party all sold out. We have a few general admission tickets which we anticipate to sell out by the end of today.
Okay, where would they go to get those?
Betbash.co.
Betbash.co. Very simple. Okay, for general admission tickets. What has been the thing about this? Maybe you already said it. Maybe it was the betting 101 where so many people show up for that. But what's been the biggest surprise of all of this for you that you couldn't have anticipated?
The biggest thing, I think, that the big breakthrough that made, the coup de grace of Bet Bash is the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. We went up, Matt Metcalf and I kind of asked Derek 2 years ago, can we... can you house the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame? And he altered his sports book, put an enclave inside his sports book in the world's most beautiful sports book, the world's largest sports book, and he was all in. I thought there was a little bit of resistance. He was just, let's do it. And, Derek's all about preservation of legacy and remembering. You go up to the Legacy Club, you see busts of all the people that have built Las Vegas. The Binions and the Boyds and the Gaughans, you hear all these names. And now when it comes to sports gambling, there are guys that have kind of laid the groundwork for people like you and I to be able to do what we do. And I think it's great to be able to honor those inductees every year. So that's the big special thing that kind of really, really hit home with me.
I used to say this also at the South Point all the time. And I used to say it in Jimmy Vaccaro's and Chrissy Andrews' presence, which is we really are lucky because, first of all, we're all getting older. Those guys are getting older than we're getting older. And so we are going to look back at this time as wow, what a privilege it was to rub shoulders with the legends who really made this industry. Have you announced the Hall of Fame inductees for this year?
Yes, absolutely. They're on sghof.com, Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, sghof.com. Everything's been announced. And you just mentioned Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro. They're part of the selection committee. Jimmy Vaccaro was inducted last year.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be an incredible, incredible list of inductees. Ron Sacco, who is the godfather of bookmaking. Jimmy Everts, who is the co-founder of Pinnacle Sports.
Jeez.
Richie Boccioleri, who was a legend in Las Vegas. Nick Bogdanovich, another legend. And then we also remember those that have passed on. Vic Salerno is another one who hasn't passed on. But Vic Salerno introduced computerized wagering to Nevada. It's just unbelievable what these guys have done.
So for those who can't make it this week, but are wondering, okay, you're doing it again next year. When might be my first opportunity to purchase tickets for next year?
So we're gonna have tickets on sale only for Bet Bash attendees. Special rates just for this year's Bet Bash attendees. We got to hook up the people. They show us love, we'll show them love. But
right.
We'll then put tickets on sale probably in October. For next year's Bet Bash.
Okay, for Bet Bash.
Bet Bash 5.
Bet Bash 5 at betbash.co. Spanky, everybody. Who, by the way, let me just say, you might be the only person that could have pulled this off.
No. Just, if you have passion, you always get it done. That's what I believe.
Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
You're the man, Gil.
My man, Spanky. Coming back with Samich Zamobombing. On the other side, Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game. Don't forget, you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. NFL and college football betting guides, unlimited access to betting splits, daily best bets, early bird price of $175. That's full VSiN access through the Super Bowl. Look at those guides, Wyatt. Very attractive. Both our college and NFL available. Matt Humans, Wes Reynolds, Adam Burke, everybody does such a great job on those. Mackinnon, Steve Mackinnon. And again, we had to, by the way, VEASAN.com/subscribe to sign up today to become a subscriber. And we had Warren Sharp on earlier, his guide. We gave a VEASAN promo 50% off. It was very generous of him because he hasn't been on the show for quite some time, so we're very pumped to have him. We get texts, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Tim Lawson, very excited for Bet Bash, he says. This is from, we'll get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Scott C. What a great guest list this week on a numbers game, sports betting insights and info like none other. Very excited to have everybody on this week. And that is a definite drift from Bet Bash. Elihu Foistel, Captain Jack on the show tomorrow, along with Drew Dinsick, of course, our regular, Steve Fezzik, Rufus Peabody on Wednesday, Dean Sisson from Profit, Matt Buckalter on Thursday from Plus EV Analytics. Looking forward to all that. Fortinbaugh maybe chiming in as well. We'll see. This is from Norm in Vegas. Glad you're back. FYI, Hard Knocks returns tomorrow with the Bears in training camp. The Giants preseason one was fantastic. Fantastic. Let's see here. Trip Tepper talking about the rest advantage and disadvantages we're talking about with Warren. The rest disadvantage is magnified after week 8 when players are more banged up, yes, and need more recovery time, etc. Rest disadvantage in week 3, for instance, less significant than week 11. I would agree with that. Mike Rouse, new shirt. I have never seen you wear that specific shirt during ANG. I wore it last, 2 weeks ago I wore it.
So funny. Rob Moreno texted me, goes, ooh, new shirt for Gil. I was like, he's worn it before. I just noticed it because the design.
Love that y'all attract my shirts, though. Ladies and gentlemen, he is known for Samo bombing. You can follow him on Twitter at SamoBomb18. That's the number, 1-8. It's Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. There's your Samo bomb. What's happening, Mike?
Oh, not too much, Gil. Looking forward to at least being at Bet Bash on Friday. Going to get in early Friday to be able to see some of the festivities there. And I didn't know it was Salmon Shirt Day. I could have worn a salmon shirt just like you, Gil. I just didn't get the word.
Well, it takes a man to wear a salmon shirt, Mike. So we only send that memo out to some people. I have a question for you, first of all, with the White Sox. This is Mark Borchardt following up on his earlier segment. And this is, I want to give Borchardt all the credit in the world because we were doing our Q2 podcast. By the way, Q3 coming up, by the way. Beating the Book Q3, quarter number 3 derivatives, MLB show. But the White Sox, we wanted to get the numbers on this. White Sox total games played 114. Games with the lead after 5 innings in those 114 games for the White Sox, 42 times. 42 times they've led after first 5. And as we pointed out many times on this show, they're actually a pretty solid first 5 team. But here's the deal. Of those 42 times that they've led after 5, 22 of those times, they have, let me get this right, games won with lead after 5, 22. 20 of those times, 20 of the 42, they have lost. 20 times they have lost after having the lead after the 5th inning. So that is a unbelievable rate when the average price is right around 7-1. So if you did, again, if you just bet that double result, which not everyone offers, by the way, and I know you can in-game this too, but if you have this double result option, which is usually a bet that's known for soccer, but that they lead after 5 and lose after the game, and you're hitting that every, if you bizarro bet, you did it every time, you hit it 20 times, that's 140 units on the ones you won alone. So even if you lost all the others, you're just so far up. Just an incredible quirk. Have you been fading them, Mike, or is the price is just not something you want to touch?
I've been looking for unique ways to fade them. So like yesterday, I had first 5 team total over for the Twins at 3.5. That was mainly because, Chris Flexen on the mound, he gets rocked by the Twins. So I'm looking for creative ways to bet against them. And I think it's interesting in that stat where they've been in lead 44 times after the first 5 innings. I'd love to know how many of that was with Crochet and Feedy on the mound.
Yeah.
Because those two pitchers were very, very good. Today, I'm actually fading them in the first 5. I'm going to take the Athletics minus a half run, minus 120 first 5. We don't have a starter announced for the White Sox, which means it's a chance we have a bullpen game. If not, it's going to be a bad starter. On the other side, you got J.P. Sears, who's actually pitched pretty well. He gave up 7 earned to the Astros, 2 back. but still has just a 3.02 ERA through this month. So he's starting to turn his season around. And I like the fact that you hear that they've lost 20 of those games. It tells you how bad the bullpen is for this White Sox team. Anytime you can target the White Sox bullpen, I think that's a positive thing. So been trying to find unique ways to fade them because the price has definitely run out on them where it's hard to just bet the other side.
Yeah, by the way, that scenario, the pricing for these vary, Mark says, Mark Porcher, but they range from plus 650 to 9-1. Ridiculous. Okay, you have a couple other first five bets today as well, yes?
Yeah, I do. One of my favorites today. Look, I love whenever I can bet against Patrick Corbin. Probably the worst tenured starter in the majors at this point. It's been like four straight years where we just get to bet against Patrick Corbin. The price right now for Logan Webb and the Giants minus 170. Don't want to lay that juice, but I do want to look at the first five team total here for the Giants. Sitting at 2.5 right now. We're going to go over the 2.5 minus 120. And if you look at Patrick Corbin's stats against Giants currently in the lineup, they're hitting 37 for 83 with a 4.46 batting average.
Is that good?
Patrick Corbin.
Wow.
That is wild. Like, that's a decent sample size. 83 at bats too. If you're specifically looking for DFS or looking for a player prop, Michael Conforto, 12 for 34 against Patrick Corbin with 5 dingers. So Michael Conforto, one of those guys you might want to have in your lineup there if you're looking for it. And then one other play for me here. We're going to go Astros first five minus 115. Got Hunter Brown on the hill for the Astros, a lefty who has better underlying numbers than what his stats currently say. The Rangers bottom 10 in majors hitting against lefties. And for the Rangers, you've got Andrew Heaney on the mound. He's a righty. The Astros, they are top 3 in the majors hitting against right-handed hitters. So perfect storm here with a lineup good against righties versus a lineup bad against lefties and the proper arms on the mound for each team. So Astros first five minus 115, the third play for me.
All right. So Athletics first five against the White Sox, laying the half run at minus 120 first five bet. Giants over 2.5 first five team total minus 120 in their game. Logan Webb starting for the Giants on their side. How about the Giants being all adorable and hanging around? And then the Astros first five minus 115. By the way, Wyatt, your Atlanta Braves only 2 games in from being out, if you know what I mean. Out of the playoff picture entirely. Only 2 games.
I'm protesting
clear.
The rest of the week.
Come on, Braves. Actually, I shouldn't be like egging the Braves on to lose. Like the Mets, if you could start winning games again, this could like be real quick. We have a bet here, not only in real life, but also in that VSiN contest for the Braves to miss the playoffs. You have a college football season play you'd like to share.
I do, yeah. I got a team, you know, I like the Ole Miss over, but everyone's talking about Ole Miss, so I don't want to come on here and talk about Ole Miss and their over. I want to come in here and talk about Illinois and their under. Their team total right now sitting at 5.5. It's an offense that's not very good. Luke Altmaier looked awful last year. It's hard to throw for just 1,800 yards when you start every game, yet that's what he did. And this is a schedule that I don't think is very favorable for Illinois. They've got 2 easy wins in their first 3 games. So give them those 2 games. They've got 10 games left after that. Well, in 6 of those following 10 games, they're a 7.5-point or more dog. The final 4 games are all coin flips for them. If they lose those 6 games where they're 7-plus-point dogs, they would have to go 4-0 in the coin flip games to be able to get over this 5.5 win total. The defense isn't very good. They didn't do much in the transfer portal. This offense isn't much better. I just don't see how Illinois is going to pull off a big upset, and I don't think that they're going to win all those coin flip games. So give me the Illinois under 5.5 team total.
You got it. Illinois under 5.5 team total. We did AFC East earlier on the show. We did it through the prism of Aaron Schatz, FTN Almanac. They've got it in terms of the talent. Jets 1, Dolphins 2, Bills 3, and they actually have the Patriots way better than the market. They say the defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. They got the Patriots winning like 7 ball games. Do you agree or disagree with any of that strongly?
Yeah, I disagree with the Patriots part strongly.
Yes.
I understand that the defense was good last year and good a couple years ago, and you could make a case. I don't see how this happens, though, this year. Like, they are so devoid of talent on the offensive side, and they have, in my mind, holes on the defensive side. Yes, they've got some good players, but to think that this defense is going to do what the Jets did last year, right, where they consistently were in bad positions on the field all the time and be able to really hold off these teams, especially with 3 good teams in your division, I just don't see how the Patriots are going to be able to win anywhere near 7. I have them for the least wins in the league. I think that was plus 750 when I bet it, and last team to win a game, that was plus 800 when I bet it. I think this Patriots team could be historically bad. I'm talking like 2-4 or 2-15, 3-14 type levels. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the 1-16 season. I think this is a very bad Patriots team.
I think they're last winless as well. We went over that market too. I'm with you on most of that. There are, you're so right about the offense. Like, they're trying to mimic the Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Cleveland structure with Ramondre Stevenson and, you know, what is it, for the kid from Washington also. So it's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. And the receivers are putrid. Mike, appreciate it as always, man.
Have a good one, guys.
Mike Somich from The Handle. We've done all we could do. Enjoy from VEASAN.